This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Lots of stuff going on when it comes to free agency. Now, it hasn't officially started, but you're seeing teams position themselves to try to do something. We're going to talk about what the Falcons are doing. We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, "Hey, man." Mike, we've seen a bunch of things take place already today, and we talked a little bit about it earlier. Saquon Barkley gets an extension from the Eagles. You see teams cutting and saving, like Devontae Adams and saving the Jets, $29 million. He had no more guaranteed money left on his deal. But what are the Falcons doing? Here's where we're at, Mike. First of all, coming off the combine, I don't know if anybody believes in what we're saying we're going to do with Kirk Cousins, in what we're going to do with Kirk Cousins. And part of this is everybody at the combine is trying to make deals. They're trying to talk about where they may go, what kind of trades they might want to do, or what, you know, they might talk to some agent and might say, your client is going to become available. What do you think it's going to cost? Either way, this Cousins thing is still hanging over our head. And I don't know if anybody believes that he's still going to be here post June 1, when I just don't believe it.
Yeah, we were talking about this last hour for guys that missed it, you know, knowing that, like, for whatever he's got left, Aaron Rodgers is still out there, and he was better off in Achilles than Kirk Cousins was, you know, if we're honest, right? I mean, now that Kirk said it,
I was
hurt.
He was.
But, you know, he's out there. You know, you got Sam Darnold if you want to roll the dice with him. You still got Russell Wilson out there looking for a gig. You know, before you eventually get to Kirk Cousins, for the teams that are out there looking for a quarterback, and not to mention some others out there, I don't know. I think it's, yes, fans out there say, well, we'll just trade Kirk. You're not going to trade him for anybody because no one's going to give you money. Guys, we have these experts on because they're experts. We don't call Joe Schmo on, you know, when we have, like, Joel Corey.
Yeah.
He comes on and tells you it's just a matter of they're going to either do it now or they're going to do it, you know, post-June, was it June 10th?
June 1st.
June 1st.
Yeah, the post-June 1.
March 12th is when this league year
begins. The league year starts. He's owed a roster bonus on the 17th. And a lot of people are saying, well, why hold on to him? And I know this sounds crazy, and I said this the other day. You paid him already $90 million. $10 million to hold on to him and say, all right, do we have more leverage heading into training camp where injuries happen and teams then get desperate for potential quarterbacks? Mike, that's what we're hanging our hat on? So if he is here past June 1, because, again, the cap number is just ridiculous to take that hit, then that's what they're hoping for. And I don't know if anybody believes, and I'm talking about the rest of the league, that that's going to actually happen. So this is something that still has to resolve itself. Meanwhile, this is something we've been talking about. And at the combine and talking to people, I heard this too. And this is what we've been saying. Everybody has to be evaluated, including guys you absolutely love. That includes Grady Jarrett. Mike, is he untouchable? No. Grady played along, guys, you know, alongside David Onyemata and Eddie Goldman. But, guys, the problem with the age of our defensive line is we don't need to add more aging veterans. We've got those guys. And if you want to hold on to these guys, so be it. I told you yesterday you could save $8 million by cutting David Onyemata. But all these guys are 31, 32. Some will be going to be 33 by the end of next season. And then you got these young guys, Mike, that we don't know about yet. The Dorlesses and the Rooks of the world. So I'm just simply saying, like, I hope they're evaluating everybody and then giving us the right savings to potentially move forward. But I will tell you, Grady's going into his 11th season. The idea that they would just hold on to Grady for sentimental value is not true.
I know we did talk about this, and I get it. A lot of fans still get it. I understand why, because he's the kind of guy you want everybody on your football team to emulate, you know, his work ethic.
For sure.
No one debates, you know, what Grady has meant to this franchise. You know, it's a darn shame that he hasn't been a part of a winner the last seven seasons. But I just think at some point when you are part of, regardless of what he has accomplished, I mean, there's always going to be an end for a guy with a team. And then he'll do two or three more years or 2 years somewhere else because he's got to make these hard decisions. I mean, yes, we do have to have somebody in that rotation. You can't get rid of everybody, but Onyemata and Grady would save you some coin and give you the availability to maybe pursue some free agents, more maybe than just one. And, you know, we need impact. And we don't get it from anybody right now save for Jesse Bates, Caden Ellis, A.J. Terrell, who else? That's about it, you know, for me in this rotation. I mean, the numbers, it's always hard, as we said, to look at the interior defensive line and know, because what's the responsibility? What is Onyemata asked to do? But you had the numbers yesterday. Onyemata's numbers are down by any metric.
Yeah. Effectiveness is what we're talking about, right? It's not the wow factor where you went, I didn't see him get any sacks. A lot of times those interior guys, you're not going to. It's how effective they are when it comes to pressures or things of that nature, and stopping the run as well. But I'll say this. If you cut Grady, all right, there's a $4 million cap hit, dead cap hit that's involved with that. But, Mike, you save $16.2 million. So if you cut Grady, potentially, and you cut Onyemata, 8 plus 16, do the simple math, that's $24 million, right?
Right.
That you have saved along the way. And I just think, like, okay, I don't know if that's going to happen. What I'm telling you is this idea that they would never do that, that's not the case, guys. They are looking at all scenarios. We are not in a place where we could say, oh, nobody's untouchable. Look at what the Eagles are doing right now.
Right. I mean, they're gonna move on from Baum, and it looks like Josh Sweat, Milton. They got like a bunch of guys at core from that defense are all going to be potentially gone off that roster. You mentioned Grady Jarrett. Josh Kendall, our buddy from The Athletic, has that article that came out just a couple days back saying that, to your point, Grady's not untouchable. And he also added, just real quick, Carl, we mentioned at the start of the conversation about Kirk Cousins. He says that almost nobody up in Indianapolis believes the Falcons about Kirk Cousins.
That's what I was saying. Like, I don't think anybody believes what we are saying to be true. If you don't, then you just play along and shake your head and go, okay. But if you are coveting a quarterback, then you just wait. And you see how the Falcons deal with this. And this is still something that has to be resolved. It's the reason why we're talking about it. Look, I told you guys, I'm exhausted about this whole situation. I am. I mean, every day we come in here and it's the same stuff every day over and over and over. Nothing has changed fundamentally.
Right.
The team still has him on the team. The team has said he's going to be the backup. The team has said that they have every intention to pay him. Okay, so nothing's changed. But it's still hanging over our heads as to one of the things that has to be resolved. And then if it's not, okay, so then we got a $40 million backup. And I just cannot imagine that happening.
No, and then, you know, on top of all that, whether they don't want to talk about it when they're at the Super Bowl or at the combine, it's the stuff that Kirk pulled. The stuff you make the team look like a bunch of nitwits. And the fans say, how do you not know this guy was injured? He tells you that he was banged up and the arm was jacked up since the Saints game was never the same. And then the coaching staff says, no, he never told us that. And you know, the only time he was in designation, even Kirk Cousins goes back and challenges the media. Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, that's not leadership. That's not team. It's me, you know, and that's I don't want that around my team. Got to go. Matter of fact, go call Jacoby Brissett and let's have a serviceable backup because you are going to move on from Kirk Cousins.
404-726-0929. You guys can chime in. Just some things we're talking about in regards to where our team is. We have yet to hear any major cuts from the Falcons, even though there are some cuts going on around other teams today. Today was franchise tag day. Had till 4 o'clock to do it. Sam Darnold does not get franchise tag, Mike. So he is going to get a chance to test the market. And again, if they would have franchised him, it was $40 million. My guess is his agent and company are going to say, well, that's the starting point.
Yeah, I don't think you go any lower, but I think teams would say, well, what is Sam Darnold? I mean, first off, you got to find somebody who's running sort of a version of a Sean McVay offense because that was really what got him back on top. And then when it mattered most, though, he crapped the bed. You and I spent a lot of time on that today. His two worst games are the two biggest games of the year. The Lions game to win the division and be the number one seed, and then, of course, the playoff game against the Rams. He was hot garbage. So what is he? What's the value? I mean, to me, as a fan, you would say $32, $35 million for Sam Darnold. I think his agent feels that way.
I don't either. The other big news today, and I think there was two really big stories. One is Devontae Adams. We knew that the Jets are going to, you know, move on from some of these guys, but they're saving a lot of money by letting him go. $29 million. He had no more guaranteed money left on his deal. When they picked him up, remember they traded for him or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the Jets are, look, they're cleaning house. This is them saying whatever Aaron Rodgers had or brought in here, we are not going to have some of these guys around. So he gets a chance to go wherever he wants. But, Mike, the big news today, I think, is the Saquon Barkley news, because all of a sudden now we have a $20 million running back per season. We haven't had this.
And just about 3 years ago, we were told, oh, it's crazy. Why would you draft Bijan Robinson? You're going to have to pay him big money. Well, the running back, the reports of the running back's death was greatly exaggerated, because if you got a good one, You can run the thing on him, and that's exactly what they did with Saquon Barkley, and the guy was a rock star. So Howie Roseman, even though he's got a lot more things on his plate to deal with, including trying to keep that defense together, do you think he overpaid?
No.
It's too much?
No,
he rewarded him, and it's great money, and now it's great for Bijan Robinson. The thing is, now we're going to have to pay Bijan some big bucks here coming up in 2-3 years.
Yeah, it's just like with any position. If you are one of the top 3 or 4 guys at that position, you get this money. Not every running back is going to get 20 million plus like Saquon Barkley.
Well, you got to be on the right side of 30.
Well, that, and you got to be productive. I mean, Saquon just ran for 2,000 yards. It's not like he's a bum. So
And by the way, he was doing stuff like the backwards leap. I mean, doing stuff you've never even seen before. I mean, you got to go back like Barry Sanders to see the kind of stuff that made you go, whoa, what the heck was that?
2 years, $41.2 million extension, makes him the highest paid running back in NFL history. And it's just, I think this is like karma. For everybody that said he's washed and the Giants are making, you know, they made the right decision. No, they didn't. Now, I don't know if they won another Super Bowl, but the fact is what he has done has led him to this point. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nix, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nix Menswear, your friend in style.
It helps and rises all the ships for all running backs. Every running back that's close right now, Mike, that might be getting ready for a new deal is like, oh, thank you very much.
Right, because he's just obviously, and this is good for certainly for Bijan, for Jahmyr Gibbs. You know, that's another thing. That whole narrative about the running back being, you know, a dying breed and you can get there a dime a dozen. We went and drafted Bijan top 10. The Lions move up big time in the draft to get Jahmyr Gibbs, and then Jahmyr Gibbs nearly gets him to a Super Bowl. So it's important. Hey, one other nugget while we're talking about quarterbacks. There's a story just dropped the New York Post that the Giants might actually be interested in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. We were talking about this, I think, Friday when you were out, when a word got out about the Giants potentially being interested. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I've heard that they are this is fodder. I don't think there's any truth to this, but, Mike, they're desperate. And we've said this. Their jobs are on the line. Brian Daboll and their general manager and Joe Shane, their jobs are on the line. So,
right. And you know, we just mentioned quarterbacks that are out there. Russell Wilson's out there. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold. Now, I wouldn't be interested. I don't think anybody else would be. If you want a younger quarterback, Daniel Jones is going to be available.
He is.
Before you get to where Kirk Cousins is. You know, and again, you get Kirk Cousins for next to nothing because we're picking up the tab.
Yeah.
And then
That news was out.
Okay. I didn't see it.
No. It's cool. But I don't know. Look, I think the Giants would be crazy to take on the circus that is Aaron Rodgers.
They got enough circus with their own knucklehead decisions.
That's where I'm at with
between
that.
Shane and Daboll. And then today, Jordan Reed from ESPN drops it. And this is interesting because we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about where the dogs are going to be. Jalen Walker is not going to participate in Georgia's pro day next week.
Uh-oh.
He's got a quad strain. He suffered during training, according to ESPN. So he's going to have a private workout for NFL teams on April 17th.
Okay. So a month or so from now.
Yeah. So basically 2 weeks before the actual draft, he's going to do a workout, but doesn't want to obviously make a quad injury. Worse because then he can't do anything in minicamp.
Good or bad for him?
Helps him, hurts him? Not good for him, but it's funny because our buddy Rusty Manziel said, this should drop him down to 15th. Now, Rusty was being tongue-in-cheek. Yes, we'd love something to, you know, happen that would not be good for him, but good for us. But no, I still don't think Jalen Walker falls out of the top 10.
I don't either. Hey, make sure you join us this Friday for a special edition of Middays with Andy and Randy at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Come on down, have lunch. They will be there getting you ready for another big sports weekend. That's Middays with Andy and Randy from 11 to 2 at Twin Peaks Buckhead, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we got a lot more to dive into. We talked about what Greg Sankey was saying earlier today about a potential 9-game schedule. He just wants reassurances that, hey, more teams from our conference is going to be able to get in the playoff. Bill Bender is going to join us, sporting news, college football senior writer. He's going to talk to us about all that and much more next. Let's talk some combine. Bill Bender's here, sporting news, college football senior writer, guys, and not just the combine. There's some things I want to get to about what he thinks about the Big Ten and the SEC kind of putting their foot down to try to expand college football playoff. Bill, first and foremost, what are you hearing out of the combine with some of these top guys that we watched this last season, specifically the quarterbacks? Is there stuff that you're hearing about this class, or is Cam that much better than everybody else, or do you think it's Shedeur Sanders?
Well, the reports vary on Shedeur Sanders right now, which I'm a little stunned about. I mean, I would take him first out of the quarterbacks. But I've been high on him since Jackson State when I got to see him play there. You know, doesn't turn the ball over a lot, took a lot of hits, took a lot of sacks. The personality thing, that might be a turn on for some people and a turn off for others. But right. I want my quarterback to be the most confident guy on the team.
It's a good poll. And by the way, speaking of Sanders, there's a great article from a couple days ago I read. Bill wrote an article, Carl, about the Deion Sanders 40 time at the combine.
Oh, when he ran through the tunnel?
The mythical story of basically, that's it, you know, running a 4.27. It's a couple days old. I think it's February 26th. You go back and read it. But, Bill, it just seems to me like when they leak stuff out there, there's always the feeling that is it a team that wants him to slip to them, or do you really feel there's just some of that old angst about, this kid and he's too cocky?
Yeah, I think a little bit of both. But, I mean, Deion was cocky when he came to the NFL, and he just did fine. He did fine for the Falcons and the 49ers and the Cowboys and the Ravens. And, right. You know, Shedeur, wherever he goes, he's going to have to breed confidence in that team because chances are they were pretty bad last year, whether it's the Giants or the Browns or whoever. And, you know, I'm not disparaging Cam Ward at all. I think he's a really good player. Manning Award. playmaker, composure's there, ability to make plays. I just, if I was him, I would show them the second half against Cal last year, everything after he threw the pick six and then the rally he was able to lead for the Miami Hurricanes. So I like those two. I guess the real question is who's next, and
right.
I'll pull one for you. I think it could be Kyle McCord. I wouldn't be surprised.
I agree, and it's funny you say this because I am not as high as on Jalen Milroe as some people, and I keep hearing, you know, that his physical attributes are just, you know, it's too hard to pass up. And I think back to Anthony Richardson a few years ago when he crushed the combine, and, you know, he's a physical freak, there's no doubt, but he's still learning how to play the quarterback position. I feel like that's what maybe Jalen is as well. Throws a really good deep ball, but I'm not as sold. Are you?
Same. I agree with you. This makes for bad radio when you agree all the time, right? But not bad radio, quality radio. I think guys like us that watch college football, I'm always amazed when you watch a guy and you're like, well, he's not quite ready. And then you can tell at the college level, and then they go in the first round in the NFL that these guys go in the first round. So I do think Jalen Milroe would be that. Quinn Ewers is interesting to me because – if that injury was true,
right.
the reports about the injury that he played with, by the way, why wasn't it on the injury report that they have now?
Uh-huh.
And two, if it really was a problem, it kind of changes how I looked at the Quinn Ewers at the late part of last season where you could tell something was off.
Yeah, I know that we always felt that Quinn Ewers, the ceiling was here, and I still don't understand, other than the injury against Ohio State, why Arch Manning wasn't in some of those games.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, everybody had an appetite for Arch. You could see it. And I remember one of the assignments I had during the season was watching Arch every snap against Mississippi State and, like, grading it when you knew they were going to win anyway. But there's going to be a lot of excitement around him. And, boy, what a first start he's going to have next year, or first start as a full-time starter against Ohio State. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. So, yeah, I mean, same questions with Quinn Ewers that I have about Jalen Milroe, that I have about, you know, just about every other quarterback that was at the combine. And that's why I think Kyle McCord is kind of sneaky, worked his way up, had a fantastic year at Syracuse, accurate, gets the ball out quick, reads the field well, had a really bad game against Pitt. I don't want to minimize it, but player.
Yeah, I agree. Bill Benner's our guest, guys, talking some college football with him as we're trying to get a feel for, you know, coming out off of the combine and some of the things we were hearing and what's going on. Bill, I do want to ask you about your opinions about the Big Ten and the SEC trying to get this college football playoff expanded. Greg Sankey came out and said he's in favor of a 9-game, you know, conference schedule. But he also wants the committee to kind of let them in on, hey, how many losses are we talking about? Because I want more teams to have the ability to get into this playoff. So he's saying we want to go there, but the committee, I don't believe, is going to commit to say, hey, if you have 3 losses in the SEC, you're going to get in.
Yeah, because we want the regular season to matter. Now, in their proposal, I didn't have a problem with most of it. I think eventually we're going to go to 16.
Okay.
Let's just skip 14, go straight to 16.
How soon, though? How soon are we talking about?
I'm thinking 2026, 2027. I mean, obviously nothing will happen next year. I'm surprised there's pushback about the seeding. That's my other thing from last year. That it was a trial, and I give the playoff the benefit of the doubt. It was the first year of doing this remarkable new change to the sport. I would do the seeding right, though. Let's however the rankings shoot out, that's how we seed the teams. I think that solves a lot of problems. I would compress the playoff a little bit.
Right.
I would start it sooner and end it sooner. I think there was some fatigue, even for a guy like me, when you're bumping the AFC and NFC championship game up against the college football playoff championship game. I think that's too much.
They got lost.
And then the SEC and the Big Ten, if you want to – I don't know that they need to guarantee 4, because I think on most years they're going to get 4 or 5 anyway. I think it is a little bit of a reaction to what happened with Alabama and South Carolina and Ole Miss with, you know, what with they having these 3-loss teams, where I do think they have a point. It's tougher to play and then some of the other, all of the other conferences. But at the same time, if you're Alabama, can you really complain after what happened at Oklahoma?
Right. You lost the right to complain. It just seems like for the other teams, it just felt like the SEC, you didn't get rewarded for the toughest schedule. I mean, I know that it changes every year with the members of that committee, but it just seems like they kind of made the statement they weren't going to really respect the strength of schedule like maybe they should have.
Yeah, and Kirby came out and talked about that. I mean, Georgia had a ridiculous schedule last year, and part of me wonders, you know, like I'm talking about how long the playoff is, and I know they had a long break and a quarterback switch, but that was a team that played a lot of tough games. And when you play a lot of tough games, you get worn out sometimes, especially this isn't the NFL where you have that bye week and you have professionals and it's a full-time job. These kids are still going to class. Some people might, you know, snicker at that or whatever, but I really believe that. Like, it's different being a college student than it is a professional NFL player. That's fact. And how many tough games did Georgia have last year? Half of their schedule was brutal.
Bill, what do you think of the ACC, FSU, and Clemson reaching a revenue statement, or a revenue settlement, should I say, and what it means for the conference overall?
I think it's good for the long-term health of the sport, because I hate seeing conferences die. I hate seeing the Pac-12 die when it did. You know, it shows that they came to an agreement. And I think part of it is the ACC saw Clemson and SMU get in the playoff and said, okay, we can do that. And now that, you know, the Florida State being left out thing is in the past now, or as at least it should be. And, you know, the ACC is going to be around for a while, and that's good for the sport. Now, and it also stops the notion of, although I think it could be something down the line, the Super League model, where it's just going to be the SEC and the Big Ten. I think we hold press pause on that at least for a little bit, because no Super League is going to start without Florida State, Miami, and Clemson. Florida State and Miami probably more so wanting a piece of that.
And that was my next question. Bill Bender from Sporting News, knowing that, you know, they're not all in sequence. I think it's the Big Ten, and then the Big 12, and then the SEC. The conference, the contracts with ESPN wrap up. ACC now bought some time till 2030. So I don't know, is the ACC whistling past the graveyard if Miami and Florida State, you know, can't get their ish together and be elite like they're supposed to be?
Right, I agree. I mean, that's something to watch, that, you know, the ACC – it is competitive, but the SEC and the Big Ten, they draw so much revenue. And I one of the things that I wanted to say was the expansion and the realignment for the SEC, it's indisputable that it was a hit.
Right.
You know, Texas got to the semifinals. Oklahoma had a rough year, but they'll be fine. And I know, I can tell you right now, from the Big Ten, you've got a conference that goes coast to coast. I think bringing in USC and UCLA, there was some hitches with the travel, but right now the Big Ten's riding high off. I mean, my lifetime, and as you guys know, I live here in Central Ohio, 45 years, my lifetime, Big Ten's never had a back-to-back national champion, let alone two different schools doing it. And, you know, this conference is riding pretty high right now.
Yeah, and speaking of Ohio State, what's it look like? Everybody's excited about what happened. Obviously, they finally get the monkey off their back. And, you know, he gets a big fat raise. I'm talking about Ohio State's head coach. But what's it look like moving forward? Because he's lost some key pieces on that coaching staff.
Yeah, I mean, but that's part of being at a program like that. You know, that starts to happen. You lose. They're going to have bumps next year. I mean, when you're almost your entire defense goes to the NFL, that's one thing. You mentioned the coordinators. I just think the pressure's off now. And Ryan Day's a guy that they'll still need to face that pressure of beating Michigan, but that national championship run takes some of the pressure off him. He is a very nice guy. I think he's a fantastic coach. He's got a win. Kirby and him have the two highest winning percentages. So, I mean, right there tells you how good he is. And as far as next year, I mean, Julian Sand might be the quarterback, and you're building an offense around Jeremiah Smith and a defense around Caleb Downs. I would say I don't care who the coordinators are. You can build around that.
Can't screw that up. It is funny, though. I ran into some Ohio State fans in Vegas a couple of weekends ago, and they do kind of shrug, though, when you say, yeah, you still got that losing streak against Michigan. It's a bittersweet, even with the Natty. It's still weird to lose to Michigan. Real quick, Bill, before we cut you loose, we've had some guys on nationally who feel that maybe Georgia is slipping a little bit. You buy that, or you feel they'll still be right in the mix and will be in this playoff?
Well, they'll be in the mix as long as Kirby's there and the recruiting's there. And, you know, some of the talk about the off-season arrest and the number of those, you know, that's a wake-up call. I think last year was a wake-up call. They did play a tough schedule, but, you know, the Georgia that showed up in the first half against Texas, that to me is still a national championship caliber team. The one that showed up in the second half against Alabama, and, you know, in the SEC championship game in the second half. These are, it's still a fantastic program. When you make these lists, they're always going to be in the top five until something drastic changes. And I think, you know, the Kirby, we know he knows how to play the nobody believes in you card, and you know he's doing that all off season. And in this SEC environment, I still look at them as how I looked at Alabama with Saban, is that most of the championship conversations are going to start and revolve around Georgia and Texas for the next few years.
I agree. Bill, it's always great to have you on, man. Thanks so much. Check him out, guys. Follow him, and certainly check out his stuff that he puts out there. Bill Bender, thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too. It's funny because I do think he's right. It's like when Kirby won the Natty and we were like, oh, I want another one. I remember when Pollock came on, he was like, you want another one? I was like, yes, this year. And they did. Yeah. But the pressure is off once you do win one, and he gets a big fat check, Mike. I mean, like, if they don't win one this year, Ohio State fans are not going to be disappointed. But I don't know. The Michigan thing, I think you're right about right. that.
I mean, certainly, like, Ohio State, why did Michigan and Ohio State, Bill just said it, first time you had back-to-back champions, because both Michigan and Ohio State used their NIL money to get the guys to stay.
Yes.
And the problem is, you know, Georgia guys aren't staying. That's, you know, if you get them to stay, maybe you get some of that, you know, the continuity which Kirby had in 21 and 22.
Coming up, the latest on our Braves, guys. We got some good news. Stay there. We'll tell you about it next. Good news. Chris Sale worked four near-perfect innings today, giving up no hits, one walk, four strikeouts. So, Mike, he looks like he's in Cy Young form.
Hey, better to, you know, we said that come on the radio today and tell you Chris Sale gave up four home runs.
No doubt.
Right? I mean, it's early days, and they're working on stuff, but the Braves, the entire pitching staff, they held the opponent to just, what, four hits? Unfortunately, the Braves only had five hits themselves. It was a scoreless game.
Yeah, I feel like overreacting about the pitching staff. I know that
we never have enough pitching.
We all wish that they would have spent more money. But I will tell you, I'm feeling a little bit more confident. Now, it is spring training. It's early. But, you know, the Cy Young Award winner has six hitless innings in two Grapefruit League games. That's pretty good. That means that's a stuff already that he's putting out there, and that's on top of the fact, again, at some point we're going to get Strider back. If these other guys can help, Mike, and live up to it, Ronaldo Lopez, if he can, doing what he did last year, I can't ask that again. He was great. But if he can come close to it, then we're on to something. And then, you know, you talk about, again, the other two guys and Grant Holmes and Ian Anderson who are vying for the fourth and fifth spot, either way, I just feel like that's where we start. It's not where we're going to finish. And then once Strider comes back, what's this look like? So I'm willing to give this starting rotation a chance, but I love the fact that Sale, and this is what we need, guys. Every fifth day, we need a stopper. We need a guy that can go out there and pitch a great game, and if we don't hit, for whatever reason, he can win the game.
Imagine me the Red Sox, you know, thinking about how much you screwed that one up. But again, they just didn't see that he was going to be able to get back to form. Alex Anthopoulos bet on the come. Remember, we had people going bananas about losing Vaughn Grissom at the time.
Yep.
But hey, man, yeah, you nailed it. And Ronaldo Lopez, I also think last year you had to remember that he was still sort of not a work in progress, but you were stretching every time he went how far he could go because he had been a bullpen guy. He was getting back to being a starter. So now maybe this year, Carl, he expands where you're not feeling like, oh, I don't know if he can make 5 2/3. Now he can be 6 and then maybe into the 7th inning.
We are going to see, but that is the good news today. I guess the bad news is what Mike's been upset about as he came in today and said, why? I said, well, what are you talking about? Why did we do it? I said, what are you talking about? He goes, why did we move on from Travis d'Arnaud? You are still upset about this.
Well, I mean, it's only $8 million in baseball make-believe Monopoly money. It's just not a lot of loot. It's just you could never, of course, foreseen that Sean Murphy would go down in spring training and now miss the first 4 to 6 weeks. But again, once he comes back, he's got to get into the swing of things. How's that going to happen when you got ribs who will be able to hit and all that, yada, yada. So now the point I'm getting to is you're going to have the youngster catcher, and that is Drake Baldwin, and you got Chadwick Trump. And then you're going to have some retread as an older guy maybe to stick around because you're going to have two young guys handling the pitching.
It's
so
true.
You do lose, and I get it. Statistically, for the nerds out there, Travis d'Arnaud wasn't as good in handling the pitchers as far as ERA as certainly what we saw from Sean Murphy. Sean Murphy's a great guy behind the plate to have. Defensively, the ball comes out and all that. He just can't hit his weight. I mean, literally can't gain his weight.
No, he can't.
But that's true. Why I wish you still had Darnold here.
It's a valid point, man. We're going to see how this all shakes out. I like the kid, Mike. We're talking about Baldwin, and we're going to see how good he is, man. I mean, look, he's one of the team's number one prospects as far as, you know, his position. Mm-hmm. We just got to figure it out. Like,
one of the top prospects in the league.
In Major League Baseball. Can he play? I think he can. Can he handle the pressure? And here's the thing. I think Grant McCauley brought up handling the staff. Is that a bigger point than hitting? Is that bigger than hitting?
Well, I mean, the problem is when you've got a team that back in the old days, as in like 21, and 23, when you've got 7, 8, 9 are all raking. There was not one weak spot in this lineup.
There wasn't.
Since they went to the DH format with the Braves. And then, unfortunately, last year, Arcia couldn't hit, and there was injuries, and Ozzy was out. And I have to remind you guys, you saw all the injuries. But you would like to have somebody at the bottom of the lineup be able to swing the bat. And that's all that you would get right now from Sean Murphy if he was healthy. Just, Carl, I'll be happy if he gets to 225. Mm. That's an improvement on last year.
It is. That's really one of the things that we got to figure out. But
part of it is, and the fans don't talk about it, but is calling the game. And how the great catchers call the game.
They do.
And when you've got young pitchers trying to find their way in the major leagues, it helps to have a veteran catcher behind the dish.
This kid's 23. We're talking about Drake Baldwin. And I was calling him Blake. It's Drake. 23. He was really good in Gwinnett last year. He hit basically 300, 891 OPS. That's, you know, slugging it on base in 72 games. He was good. But is his defense and game management where it needs to be? That is the question. And usually, Mike, to be honest, even guys that can hit, that is what the reason why they're not brought up sooner is right. Because of what you're talking about, is that game management and understanding, you know, the defensive side of how important that is.
I know they moved on from Contreras because they thought that Contreras was never going to be a great defensive catcher, but hey, I mean, he rakes.
He rakes. He does. He does. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up if you have the same concern. Maybe Mike does. Mm. We can't go back and get Darnold, but if this is something that comes back to bite us, it's going to be a legitimate thing that we go, right. Hey, double A, this was a need. We didn't address it, and either two things happen. One, you have a really high level of confidence in Drake Baldwin, or you didn't foresee this coming. Because we should have known, Mike, like, what if Sean Murphy gets hurt? Where are we going? And we said this. You had a guy that you really didn't know a whole lot about in Trump, and then this. So,
and like perhaps the feeling all along was that Drake Baldwin was going to get some reps at the major league level, and that's what they were making room for. And again, Grant pointed out that, you know, even though by today's Major League Baseball standards, $8 million is next to nothing, the Braves weren't going to spend that for a guy that's a backup who's going to, you know, like maybe play 60 games.
Yeah.
Or 40 games, I should say. But now it's here.
It's Chadwick Trump. Let me just clarify that.
Trump. Trump. Rhymes with chomp.
Yes, yes.
Right. But I love the idea of getting the young guy out there. And if he can hit like Vaughn Grissom or Money Harris or Ronald Acuna we mentioned yesterday, then he just picks up. Because the Braves have had some great luck with rookies, you know, getting hit the ground running. Austin Riley, remember how great he was and the pitchers adjusted? Then he figured it out. There's always, you know, the ebb and flow for all rookies out there, but it's just going to be after coming on the heels of all the friggin' injuries, it's the last thing you wanted to hear is now you got a guy who couldn't hit last year who's going to have to add this to trying to figure it out.
All right. From one sport to another, because I just want to mention this because he was named the Rookie of the Month in the Eastern Conference, Zachary Richache. You said this earlier today when we were talking about the Hawks. They got a big win last night. We're going to talk more about it in the 6 o'clock hour. They get Milwaukee tonight at home at State Farm Arena, pregame at 7, tips at 7:30. But we said, maybe we got a star here, man. You know, I mean, look, we got the number one pick. You take who you think is the best player. Guys, I don't think they got this wrong. The whole idea of Alex Saar now, Mike, it makes me, like, shiver because I'm going, he's not as good as what we've seen with Zachary Richache.
Richache has led all scorers twice already this year, and he looks like, you know, yeah, I mean, he's streaky sometimes, and there's sometimes he's had some awful shooting nights, but that's rookie basketball in the NBA. I think, you know, at the end of the day, we always deal in absolutes. Wemby was the draft. That next one is, poof. Well, if Richache
trash.
Right, if Richache becomes, you know, an all-star, and right now he looks like he belongs. And as we said, he was money. Matter of fact, one thing I think if I was talking to Quinn Snyder after the game last night, I'd say, why didn't you let Richache keep shooting? You know, because he was on fire. He wasn't missing. He wasn't missing from three. He was everything he was hitting. And by the way, you know, guys are going out there earlier on the show and like, oh, man, Ja Morant wasn't playing. The Grizzlies ain't nothing. Well, the Grizzlies, and thanks to my buddy Tim who texted us earlier, Grizzlies are 38-23, fourth in the West. Ja Morant's only played in 37 games.
Yeah.
So they've been good without him. So that's still a quality win last night in Memphis.
They played us here earlier in the year without him and beat us. So, I mean, like, that's just what it is. I mean, like, at the end of the day, that's the NBA, man. Night in and night out, you don't know who's going to be out there.
It was cool, and we'll get into it more coming up next hour, but Dyson Daniels getting, like, national pub now that Wemby's, you know, out with the injury, that you know, with the blood situation, that maybe you could get a guy. Could a guy on a team that's, like, five games under 500 win the Defensive Player of the Year? Because by any metric, by any look that you'd be ever wanting from your defensive player, he's the best defensive player in the NBA.
Hands down. He won the game last night for the Hawks. While we're talking basketball, real quick, guys, Mavs devastated. Kyrie is done for the season. Tore his left ACL against the Kings last night. He's 32. Now, I'm not going to tell you Kyrie's done.
No.
But you talk about taking a hit to the future of the Mavericks.
Oh, yeah.
AD hurt. Kyrie now, torn ACL. There is no Luka. And Mike, they're on the verge of, they may or may not make the play. Like, I don't know what's going to happen if they don't make the playoffs.
I mean, Kyrie coming off an ACL, six years ago, Durant had the Achilles.
Correct.
But that's a different injury, but still came back. But Kyrie at this stage of his career, they just, if you missed the show yesterday, the Maverick fans that are already in mutiny, they're going to raise the news leak. They're going to raise ticket prices 8%. You know, they might not get back. They might be a lottery team now. It's a free fall. The Mavericks are like a turd falling from heaven right now. You mentioned Anthony Davis. Kyrie's out. Luke, of course, is in L.A. And now these guys, literally last night, if you didn't see it, a mass exodus from the arena all at once.
They are currently in the 10th spot in the West. Phoenix is right behind them, and Phoenix has a lot of pressure on them with Booker and Durant to make the playoffs.
This is like Bradley Beal.
Dude, that's a 28-win team. It's embarrassing to look at the Phoenix Suns. But the point is, they could overtake the Dallas Mavericks now. What's up, what you got?
So I remember like 11 days ago, 12 days ago, Dyson Daniels was plus 4,000 to win the Defensive Player of the Year.
Right after I got back from Vegas, you dropped that on me.
I did, and I apologize. He is now sitting with the second-best odds behind Evan Mobley at plus 400.
Mobley, Schmobley, it's Dyson Daniels time.
So Mobley right now is minus 185, and Dyson Daniels is plus 400.
It's pretty good, man. I mean, I think, you know, obviously Vegas is recognizing what's going on, and now as we get towards the end of the season. But if you're wondering, by the way, you said this is a free fall for Dallas. Here's what's crazy. So Utah, they won 15 games. New Orleans, 17 games. I'm just looking at the standings, Mike. Cooper Flagg's the guy that's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And you're talking about the teams with the best odds to potentially get him, right? That's in the West.
And remember a couple years ago when Mark Cuban was still running things with the organization? He says, we'll sit Kyrie for the last game because we want to just get into that lottery.
Yeah.
It worked out perfectly.
Washington's won 11 games. They're terrible. And Charlotte's won 14, Toronto 19. Like, if you talk about the teams, the best odds to potentially land Cooper Flagg, those are the teams. But if you are still in the lottery, you got a shot.
Right.
You got a chance. And one of those teams is San Antonio. Can you imagine if San Antonio with Wemby and they end up getting the first pick? Like, that would be incredible. But there's a chance that they could get it as well. So I just throw that out there. Like, Dallas is not in that hunt yet, but they could be by the end of the season.
So it's just, we said this earlier, I know we've had some real ups and downs, mostly downs since we went to the Eastern Conference Final. But if you're a Mavs fan, like, you love that team. I mean, that's bleaker than any future you could imagine. I mean, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But to lose your star player to the Lakers, and for guys who missed it earlier, Carl. If you missed it earlier, Luke, I told Carl, I want you guys to get off my back. I'm playing much better basketball. As you see, Lakers, we are on the ups, we are on the ascension.
You are.
You know what the key is?
What?
Another reason I hate those Dallas Mavericks trainers would never give me shorts with pockets.
What do you need pockets for?
For my chicken nugget. Please. But you obviously have never played 48-minute pro basketball game, Auden.
I have not,
You need to maintain a level of protein.
The protein needs to be just instantaneous protein.
Thank you. That's right. And who wants muscle milk? Give me chicken nuggets. And the other pocket, I have munchkins.
Munchkins?
Yes, glazed munchkins.
What do you need that for?
Sugar rush. You get low blood sugar. We play in Denver. You play in Salt Lake City. I have a pocket full of munchkins. But this is not a joke. This is fact. This is how I prepare for Laker basketball.
And the Lakers have ascended. They have ascended.
Two seeds.
I'm glad you're adjusting accordingly.
Now, if I can get the cars like SGA, maybe we do something.
The who?
What? That's not a joke.
What?
SGA gets all calls. Luka gets no calls.
Oh, he's getting all the calls.
Now I know what it's like to be Trae Young.
Yes. At least you're not getting technicals.
SGA gets more calls LeBron ever got.
Wait a minute. That's not true.
Totally true. I don't know what you're watching.
Coming up, 6 o'clock hours straight ahead, man. We got a lot to talk about. We had fun today with our buddy Nick, who stopped by, lead singer for the Atlanta's own Yacht Rock Review.
Right.
Nick Nespajani. He was great, man. He came in studio, talked about their big tour. So we've been playing a lot of Yacht Rock today and just having some fun with it. 6 o'clock hour, though. Stay there. We got a lot to get into. Hawks win. Can they do it back-to-back against Milwaukee tonight? We'll get into that. And also, we got to talk about something that you need to talk about. Mm. We'll tell you what it is next.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 3-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.